That California sun was very nice for sure. And end up enjoying a white Christmas. It snowed the night before at my parents' house, and had a fabulous time with the family, and I thank the Lord that I'm able to be back here safely. One thing that the Lord actually has been dealing with me about, and I want to testify about, is the difference between happiness and joy. It just kind of was going through my head before I left. You know, I hear all the songs, you know, Joy to the World, Our Lord Has Come, and all these different songs that talk about joy and the happiness. And, you know, we tend to use these words, you know, almost as if they were exactly the same. But they're not the same. And the Lord put that in my heart. Research this. It is not the same. And then so I started doing research on that. And then I started with happiness. And, you know, I was reading through the different definitions of happiness from Webster to what different philosophers and all these different things. And the founding fathers even writing our Constitution based off the pursuit of happiness. And it had to do with the temporary. When I was reading through, everything was the instant gratification, the instant satisfaction, and that was happiness. You know, that endorphins that go through your body, you know, like when kids are opening up their Christmas presents, or when you're after your adrenaline's gone through after going through a roller coaster and your endorphins are pouring. That moment is happiness. And so, you know, we go through this day to day. Sometimes we're happy. Sometimes we go through a day without having that endorphin rush. And we were like, today was not a good day. I didn't get that happiness that generally I would have. And so after doing all this kind of reading and going through the scriptures, in which the scriptures, when it does refer to happiness, it refers to in the same way, I started reading about joy. What does joy mean? Joy was totally different than happiness, because happiness was an instant state, and as quickly as it came, it went away. Joy was everlasting. Joy was something that will continue. Joy was a confidence. Joy is a comfort. Joy is something that will go through day to day, whether if you have happy moments or sad moments. And it blew my mind when I actually got to understand the difference between the two. And then I would start going through the scriptures. And I believe it's in the book of Philippians, I think chapter 3. And it goes on, I'm going to paraphrase it real quick, but it talks about us going after a high calling of God. And as it continues, it says the joy that Jesus had when he endured the cross. And after understanding the difference between what is happiness and joy, I realized at that moment, when Jesus was carrying the cross, when Jesus was being whipped, when Jesus was going through all the things that he went through, he wasn't happy. He didn't have that endorphins going through him. He wasn't like, oh yeah, I'm carrying the cross. But there was a confidence in him that what he was doing made a difference in the lives of each and every one of us. He knew what he was aiming for. He knew the purpose that his flesh had to go through so that we can be saved. And that we can have joy today, knowing that the Lord gave his life so that we can be saved, that we can have that confidence, that we can have that assurance that if we go and press after that high calling of God, that if we continue to walk in righteousness and seek after the Lord and pursue that relationship with God, we will have that confidence, we'll have that peace, that assurity, that joy in our day-to-day lives. That sure, we might have struggles. Sure, you know, we're going to have happy moments. Sure, there's things that are going to happen through our day-to-day lives that we're going to have our highs and our lows. But if we just continue to press after that high calling, if we continue to seek after God, that we can have a peace and assurance. Like that beautiful song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I want to thank God that I can now not only pursue happiness, but overall pursue that joy. And I know that each and every one of us, now that we know the difference, can now say, okay, we know what we need to be doing. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Brother Mark. I think it'd be appropriate if you just lifted your hands right now. The scripture talks about the joy of the Lord being our strength. The scripture also says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, it's peace, it's joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the Lord desires for us. Why don't we receive that tonight? In the name of Jesus. Father, we're not looking for a temporary high, a temporary fix, but we desire your joy in our lives. We desire your peace in our lives tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Kendrick, I'm going to be going in a few minutes to Luke chapter 9 just to give you a heads up. I think. You know, the Lord's been dealing with me the last couple of days, and I felt it again tonight while we were praying, and even you may have heard me speak it out, but the idea of this, we say, you know, this world isn't my home. Now, we don't say that a lot anymore. When I was a kid growing up, we used to sing a song a couple times a month, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." Yeah, we sing it in worship service. Maybe you did too. Maybe you grew up in a church like that where you're saying, "This world is not my home." And we believe that. We don't sing that anymore. We don't. Because that contradicts humanity today. This world is our home. We're trying to make it the best home we can. We're trying to make it the most comfortable home we can. Not by a show of hands, but how many of us? I'm asking this to provoke thought. I'm not asking you to be honest. I'm asking you to provoke thought. How many of us think about heaven on a daily basis? How many of us go through our day thinking about, I wonder if I get to go to heaven today? You know, this isn't where I thought we were going tonight, but I mean, if that's what we're living for, if I truly believe that this world isn't my home, if I truly believe that this life is just, it's just temporary, I'm just passing through here. My treasure, the song says, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The scripture says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It talks about this living for the moment, or not living for the moment, but living for eternity. I watched a generation of men. My dad's on the front end of that, or the tail end of that generation. His mentors and pastors were on the front end of that generation. But the cool, it was your generation, his pastors, his mentors, who truly lived like this world wasn't their home. They did. They lived that way. They didn't have a lot of treasures here on earth. They everything that God gave them, they poured back into the kingdom. Because it wasn't about here and now. And through the process of time, I become concerned that at times the focus is easy for it to become about today. I'm wanting to move on into what we want to talk about tonight, but let's pray. In the name of Jesus, Father, you know what we need. You know what this hour holds. I pray in the name of Jesus, give us boldness, Father. Give us boldness to proclaim truth. Give us boldness, Father, to live differently. In the name of Jesus, give us boldness to live differently, Father. See, I wonder sometimes if it's not if it's we get sucked into the idea or the process of just trying to blend in. You know, there's been in my lifetime a few, and many of you who are older than me, maybe you remember others. I was just the other day reading again because my wife had brought up the town. She asked me if I knew where Waco, Texas was. Well, Waco, Texas is really popular today because there's a little store there called Magnolia. I'm sure nobody knows about that. She said, honey, do you know where Waco, Texas is? I said, yeah, David Koresh. Anybody remember David Koresh? Yeah. He made Waco famous. Not Baylor. Not Chip and Joanna Gaines. David Koresh. I don't know all what he believed, but he had a compound and he convinced people to sell everything they had and move on to his compound and they were going to go to heaven or somewhere. They had some idea. But the idea, the base of their idea was, listen, we're not living for here and now, we're living for something else. And he had a doctrine, and he convinced people to follow him. Somehow, he convinced these people. A few years ago, maybe, I say a few years ago, I told my wife on the way to church tonight, I said, next year, Y2K is 20 years ago. Let that sink in. A few years ago, there was a comet. Was it Halley's Comet? That there was a group of people who were going to, the comet was going to come get them, and they were going to go to this celestial city on this comet. And they all were in a compound of some sort and ended up losing their lives, committed suicide, whatever happened in that situation. But there were people who were, we classify them as, they were weird, they were crazies, they were wackos. And maybe that was true. The media paints this picture of these crazy people who, you know, were living in this place or doing this or living for this thing. And so we don't want to be associated with them. So we're just going to be normal folks, right? Heaven? Well, yeah, well, you know, someday Jesus is coming back. Or we're going to the New Jerusalem. So it's easier just to blend in. I don't listen to a lot of denominational preaching. I don't listen to a lot of preaching in general other than what the bishop sends me in the ECE mediums and says, please listen to this, please listen to this. And I'll listen to it, but I don't listen to a lot of stuff. But the little bit of stuff that I bump into here and there, I don't hear a lot of people in general preaching about heaven. Used to be all I heard about as a kid. We preached about heaven all the time. That's all we cared about. Showed movies about hell. Nobody wanted to go there. Showed movies about missing the rapture. Nobody wanted to do that. Man, you prayed through every Sunday. Who wanted to dry eye in the place? Because it wasn't about here. It was about there. And we were going to do whatever it took to get there. Those are crazy people nowadays. You're what? You're going to get caught away? You listening for a trumpet? Oh, we've lost that section of our Bibles. I'm being facetious, but you getting the drift here? I don't want my roots to get too deep. I was telling somebody the other day, I grew up on Shady Oak Drive. Oak trees have a taproot. Oak trees are really difficult to push over. You can get behind an oak tree with a dozer and you can push on it, try to push it over. You'll get it over eventually, but it's tough because a good oak tree's got a taproot that goes down into the ground. That same property had fir trees on it. Those fir trees, every windstorm, blew over because the root system just ran on top of the ground. It was just enough to keep them alive. I tell you, I don't want to be an oak on this earth. I want to be with regard to this earth, I want to be a fir tree. I don't want my roots going too deep. Because when he says, let's go, I want to be ready to go. You see, the temptation is to let our roots go deep and solid. Now, I understand what the scriptures say about being deeply rooted in Christ. I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm talking about the world. All right, that's free. Quit meddling. I want to talk about prayer tonight. You say, why are we going to talk about prayer? We all know how to pray. I began to look at some things in Scripture a couple weeks ago that just astounded me and caused me to reassess prayer and prayer for me. I want to share some things with you tonight. Luke chapter 9, Brother Kendrick. I want to look at just a quick portion of Scripture here. This is the Gospels. This is some of Jesus' interactions with his disciples. And I think some of these, and we're going to bounce around here for a couple of chapters. I think some of these will be familiar stories to you, but we're going to read them together, look at them together, and then we'll make some assessments on them when we get a little further into this. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when ye go out of that city, shake the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed. And they went through the towns. Everybody say they obeyed. They went through the towns waiting for Jesus to come and preach. No, the 12 went through the towns preaching the gospel and hearing everywhere. Now, we're not going to get in tonight. We're not going to get into discussion. We've talked about this before, the difference between preaching and teaching. We know what this means. They didn't go find churches to get in pulpits. They went and proclaimed. If you want to know about preaching, go search the website. Brother Heiner preached a great message a couple of years ago about preaching and reaching and teaching and all those things. This is what they were doing. They were proclaiming the gospel of Jesus everywhere they went, every town they went into. Verse 7. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John I have beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. And the apostles, when they returned, told him being Jesus, all that they had done, and he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. Now, they're basically just having a little powwow here to kind of download all the great things that happened on their journeys. Man, we went to this town, we preached, there were sick people healed, all kinds of great things happened. Verse 11. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. So now here we are, the disciples have gone out. Now they're coming back and have a meeting with Jesus. He wants to hear all about their journeys. He wants to hear all the great things that happened, in so much that he pulls them aside and has a little private meeting with them. But people find out. They show up. He starts talking to them about the kingdom of God, and there was some sick people among them, and he heals them, and the disciples are there. So their little kind of triage meeting turns into a revival. Verse 12. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get food, for we are here in a desert place. And he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so, and he made all them, and they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled, and there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. So not only does he teach them about the kingdom of God, and the disciples sit and hear this and listen, there's healing, and now he performs a miracle and feeds 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Can we agree tonight that these are accomplished men of God? Right? That isn't a trick question. These guys following Jesus. I mean, my goodness. I hold a license with the United Pentecostal Church International. I would turn it in tonight to trade places with the 12 disciples that didn't have a license. These were men of God. These were guys that were operating in did I dare say apostolic authority? But they were operating in the authority and the power of God. Because he gave them authority. He sent them out and gave them authority. And they're out healing the sick. We'll read on here in a little bit when you get into chapter 10. And we're not going to read all of chapter 9. But you get into chapter 10, you'll read that they were casting out devils. They came back to him and said, "Man, even the devils are subject to your name." Woo! I don't know what it is about you, but we say, "In the name of Jesus," and people come to attention. I mean, they were out enjoying themselves. They're tearing up towns. Walking into places, healing sick, taking authority over spirits. I'm telling you, when they came back to Jesus, they must have been on cloud 9. When they got to this meeting, I mean, they must have been, by the times, they must have been walking on water. These guys were excited. And then Jesus goes and performs this other miracle. And I mean, you ever had one of those things where just a few things work out in a day? You just see the hand of God just touching like 2 or 3 different things. And you're just like, what else can I touch? One of those days. I mean, these guys were invincible at this point. Let's read verse 18 real quick. Okay, yes, let's keep reading. Just a few more verses here. "And it came to pass as he was alone." Everybody say alone. Praying. Why? This is a silly question. Why, after all, was Jesus by himself praying? I mean, you'd think after that big old miracle and all they just got done marching around city to city, preaching the gospel, casting out devils, healing the sick, fed 5,000 with 5 loaves, 2 small fishes, and Jesus goes and has a prayer meeting by himself, and they were sitting around sharing war stories. You remember that? Yeah, we were in that one city, you know. And it doesn't say they were doing that, but they weren't praying. Jesus was alone. So he gets done praying, and he asked them, "Whom say the people that I am?" Verse 19. They answered, saying, "John the Baptist. Some say Elias. Others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." He said to them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day." I mean, Matthew recorded that same instance. The Matthew 16, he recorded that same scenario. And he said, man, he was a little more dramatic in it. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you." It was a powerful moment. I feel like Luke's kind of glazing over it a little bit, maybe. I mean, he did say it was any less powerful, but he's got a little different take on it. But nonetheless, that's one of the foundational moments of apostolic truth. This is who we are. Jesus revealing himself to his disciples, wanting to know, "I've been with these guys. I mean... My wife was telling me this today. She's been listening to some recordings. Some of you will know the name Sister Nona Freeman. She made a statement in one of her recordings. She said that they got saved 1 week and they preached their first revival the next week. What was that, in the 30s or 40s? 30s. Got saved 1 week and we're preaching revivals the next. We're just going to leave that right there. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. We've just flipped. We flipped the script in 2019. We send. You got Jesus sending guys out to cities to preach the gospel, and then they come back and he goes, "So, who do men say that I am?" And proof that some of them still didn't know who he was. Didn't have a full revelation of who Jesus was yet, Brother Chamberlain, and they just got back off a world tour revival. I'm just going to leave that late for a few minutes. I'll leave it right there. We'll come back to that. I will say this before we move on. Are you disqualifying yourself tonight? Is God wanting to use you? If you felt the drawing of the Holy Ghost in some aspect of your life, then you know that God is wanting to use you. He's wanting to utilize the gifting that he's put in you. That's what we mean when we say, you know, I want to be used of God. Really what we're saying is take this gifting that you've given me and use it for your kingdom and for your glory. Don't let it lie dormant. Have you disqualified yourself because you're waiting on getting a whole bunch of things straightened out? So that, okay, send me out. Make me one of the two that get sent. Do you think Jesus knew all that stuff? I had a thought this morning in prayer. We talk about baptism in Jesus' name and remission of sins. It's the washing away. The old man goes down and you arise in newness of life. We talk about how justification, we're justified by faith, justification just as if it never happened. The blood of Jesus and the powerful work that it does and applies to our lives. And that our sins were washed away and they're as far as the east is from the west and not remembered anymore. But I still remember. I still remember things, Brother Randy. You probably still remember things. So imagine being the Lord, who's all-knowing, knows everything. How hard is it for him to forget? You know, I remind him, oh, Lord, you don't remember. Every time, you know, I'm feeling bad at myself, you don't remember how bad I was last year. And you don't remember what pit of sin you found me in. Oh, I don't remember. I'm the guy who knows. I know every hair on your head. There's not a sparrow that falls that I don't know about. Jesus knew all this stuff. He knew who these guys were, and yet he still sent them out. He said, go preach the gospel. Jump to chapter 10, Brother Kendrick, please. Verse 1, after these things, I would go all the way through chapter 9, but it's 62 verses, and we're only like 18 in, so we're just going to jump ahead. You can read it at home. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore, said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. We quote that scripture a lot, right? Because we're looking for perfect laborers. We're looking for squeaky clean laborers, right? We don't want any failures. We don't want any dropouts. We don't want any backsliders. We don't want anybody with impure thoughts. We don't want anybody with impure motives. We need good laborers. Can we get a show of hands of good laborers in the house tonight? Got to keep my hand down. That's our mentality. But there's just not enough laborers around here. Jesus said, pray for laborers. He's picking laborers. You and you go. You and you go. You and you go. Well, I'm not qualified. No, I said go. And don't take a script either. Well, I don't quite know the scriptures yet. If somebody asks me a question I don't know, what am I going to? He said, he told him at one point in the gospel, he says, you're going to stand before kings? He said, I'll tell you what to say. The labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labors into his harvest. Verse 3. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. That feels good. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be unto this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for that day, in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee. Let's jump to 14. Jump to 17. Thank you. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. It's amazing. I mean, this is the stuff we talk about in the apostolic church. These are the things that we believe today passionately, that should be in operation in the lives of believers. I know we don't do a lot of this nowadays, but he's given us power over unclean spirits. He's given us authority. Jump to chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 1. After all of this, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now the Lord put this scripture in my mind a couple of weeks ago. I was praying one day, and the scripture came to me, Lord, teach us to pray. And I literally thought to myself, that scripture must be early on in the Gospels. I didn't know which one it was in. I didn't go look it up at the time, but I knew it was in one of the four Gospels, and I knew it probably had to be like, it was either in Matthew 1 through 4 or Luke or Mark 1 through 4 or Luke 1 through 4 or John 1 through 4, right? Because that's the foundation. You need to learn to pray, and then once you have a prayer life, then God can use you. Or you can't be in church for 10 or 15 years and not yet know how to pray. Right? That's not possible. You can't live for God for 25 or 30 years and still not know how to pray. Right? These are sometimes things that I don't know if we think or we assume, but this is 11 chapters into Luke, and we just skimmed chapter 9, chapter 10, and jump to chapter 11, verse 1. And after all they saw in two chapters, they come back to the Lord and say, hey, we see this praying thing you're doing. Can you teach us how to do that? They observed something. And something was stirred in them. They said, we read back in chapter 9 that he was alone and praying. His disciples were with him, but he was alone and praying. And now here it is that he's praying in a certain place and he stops and one of his disciples takes a moment. I don't know what was going on in prayer, but takes the advantage of a moment of stoppage to say, hey, teach us to pray. It would almost appear, I'm not trying to read into anything here, okay? Follow me here for a second. It would almost appear as though the Lord waited for them, for their curiosity, for their hunger, to approach him and say, we've observed this. We've observed you in this place. Teach us. I believe there was another, if we go back in chapter 10, I believe there was somewhere else in there where Peter, James, and John went with him up to a mountain to pray. That was they witnessed some things. Is that the one where Peter said, hey, let's make 3 tabernacles here? They saw some stuff. They obviously weren't participating at the level that he was, but something, they saw something, they observed something. Said, that's different than what, I mean, we're obviously operating in all these things. There's great things going on around us, but we're observing something different. We want to be a part of that. And so he told them, we'll read on here quickly. He told them in verse 2. He said, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, we won't go into that. We've talked, and there's a powerful outline and representation there of what those words mean. This was Jesus explaining and helping his disciples to understand the power of prayer. I don't know where you're at altogether in your journey tonight. But no matter how long you've been on the journey or how short you've been on the journey, I believe the scripture gives us example of coming to a place where I say, Lord, I've observed some things. Maybe it's a desire to go somewhere you haven't gone before in prayer. Lord, I've observed some things. I desire some different things. Show me, lead me. He wants to. He didn't come back to them. His response in return to them wasn't, "Well, you fools. I mean, all you've seen, are you kidding me?" No, he simply addressed the hunger and he said, when you pray, here's what I want you to pray. Here's the manner after I want you to pray. Let's stand together tonight. I know we covered a lot. We talked about a lot of different things through those skimming of those 3 chapters. Hopefully somehow, some way, the Word of God pricks something in you tonight. Would you just close your eyes right now and talk to the Lord from your experience, where you're at on your journey, where you're at in prayer, or maybe lack thereof in prayer, wherever your daily communication with him is at. Talk to him about that right now. He's aware of it. He knows about it. He's not going to reject us or push us aside because of it. He's hungry. He's waiting for us. He's in anticipation of us asking him. Father, in the name of Jesus, we seek you tonight. We desire after you tonight. We desire to learn of you, to know of you, Father. In the name of Jesus, In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you're interested, there's an event Sunday night. This is the 6th. It will be at 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m.